About 31 years ago, I was 10 years old and running through cornfields, the hills, and the hollers of the Ozark Mountains in Missouri. And as we had done several times over the past few years, we decided to, good night, to turn out the hounds and listen to them run. Well, while we were getting everything ready and we were heading out, things were looking a little bit different to me. We get out, and as darkness falls and we turn the hounds loose and we get out and ready just to take off after them, I realized that I wasn't able to see just about anything at night. Couldn't see anymore in the dark. So that night I stayed in the truck while everyone else, my dad and my brother and some others, had gone out. And it began a long road, really, of doctor's visits, going across the state of Missouri from Fort Leonard Wood to St. Louis to Springfield, and then being sent to a place that used to be called Fitzsimmons near Denver, Colorado. There I was told that I had an eye disease called retinitis pigmentosis, RP for short. That I'd be losing my sight over a very long period of time, generally speaking. Well, about 10 years ago, I lost the sight in my left eye, and about 7 years ago, all usable sight in my right eye as well. With all of that said, it was 19 and a half years ago when my vision truly changed. I heard the gospel of Christ preached. It was like a veil being removed. The perspective of everything that I had looked at had changed. The way that I approached life changed. Everything that I thought was important wasn't nearly as important. Everything that the hopes and the dreams and the aspirations that I had in this life kind of diminished. Didn't completely go away, but certainly they were changing. And as I began to study and learn more about the inspired text of King Jesus, I began to see that my marching orders were different. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 and 19, when Jesus said, "All authority had been given to me on heaven and on earth." And he tells the apostles there, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age." Amen. Began to see that there was something greater, something a lot more valuable, a lot more important in this life that I could be doing, an influence that I could have in trying to not only better myself, but better even the lives of others through the help of Christ Jesus. Now, when you look at your life's situation, I can ask you a question, and there are some here who will probably, that are going to answer it in various ways. And that is, do you love where you are? Now, there were times in my life when I would answer that question, no. There were times in my life when I would, answer the question that, no, I do not love the situation that I'm in. I don't love where I'm at all, by any means. Not very long ago, talking to some folks in Missouri about their particular situation, words like hate would be used. I hate where I'm at in this life. I hate the situation that I am. I hate my house. I hate my job. You know, I hate what is happening to me, the relationship that I'm in. Whatever it is you can think of, people are probably going through that right now. People we know, or perhaps even you. thinking that, how can you ask the question, do I love where I'm at? Of course I don't love where I'm at. I hate what I'm going through. I hate this disease. I hate the problems, the unemployment, the work, the problems in relationships, school, whatever it is. And when I ask the question, though, do you love where you are? That's not exactly really what I'm asking and not what the answer that I'm looking for. Let me put it this way. Where you are, do you love? That's really what it's about. Are you loving when you find yourself where you are? Are you showing love to others? Are you showing a Christ-like spirit and attitude towards those around you in spite of the circumstances you find yourself in? You know, when we talk about that mission, we talk about, you know, that commission of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 28, you know, that global mission that Christ gave the apostles, spreading the word, going to all nations. And sometimes we look at that and we think that's overwhelming. And are we really expected to travel to every country, to go around the world and make sure that we talk to someone about the gospel going around the world? Is that a travel really that we have to take? And in various, you know, literally, the answer would be no, not necessarily. We do in various ways. Remember in Thessalonica, when Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9, he commended them for sounding forth the gospel, not just in Thessalonica, but Macedonia and Achaia, to the outermost parts of the world. Everywhere around them, sounding forth the gospel of Christ. And not that everyone had left Thessalonica. Through various ways, through funds and support and encouragement as people were passing through, the word was being sounded forth. And with that said, what we learn is that while there is certainly a global mission of spreading the gospel of Christ, our influence begins one-on-one. Life on a life. Those that we come in direct contact with every day. No matter where you go, no matter where you are, our influence is there for good or bad. That's where our opportunities to have influence. And one of the things that we really need to grab hold of is that wherever we go, there you are. Think about it. When you're traveling, when you are somewhere that you do not live, perhaps, and you break out the GPS trying to find a location, and you're wanting to, you know, and the GPS is directing you and telling you, you know, which way to go, where to turn, when to turn. If you look at that GPS, there's this little icon. Sometimes it's a car, sometimes it's a truck, or even a person walking. And that represents you. You go to a mall and you're looking for a certain store. And you find the kiosk that has the map of the store. And there's a little red dot. And it says, you are here. That is something that, not just for traveling, that is something that just we need to internalize. We need to really grab hold of and recognize. And this is where I am in my life. This is where I have, this is the situation that I am in. And what are we going to do with it? You are here. Where do you go from here? What do you do now? What do you do while you are here? Remember in Acts chapter 1, the apostles, there in Acts chapter 1, the apostles were with Jesus once again. After he had already been taken from them, and they had been scattered. Sheep without a shepherd. They were scattered. Peter denied the Lord three times. We have Jesus being beaten, scourged, crucified, dying on the cross, being buried. But he rose the third day. He rose the third day and for 40 days were with the disciples, teaching them, encouraging them. And here in Acts chapter 1, during that period, at the end of that 40 days, Jesus ascends to heaven. He goes back to be with the Father, where He was before coming to this earth in the flesh, receiving the glory that He once had, as He said in John 17, verses 4, 5, and 6. The apostles were wanting to know, are you going to set up your kingdom? Are you going to restore the kingdom now to Israel? And Jesus says, you know, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be My witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But as Jesus ascends, there they are, standing, looking, gazing into heaven as Jesus is caught up and goes away. And two men in white robes appear in verses 9 through 11 and ask Him, why are you just standing here? In the same way that He went, He will return. But really the point, you know, what are you doing? Why do you stand looking into heaven? You know, sometimes that's what we find ourselves doing, just kind of standing there. When we're at home in our relationships with our spouse or with our parents or with our kids, we find ourselves just kind of standing there. When we're at work and there are opportunities to influence coworkers for good when perhaps they would rather be deceitful and lie and cheat. And here we are in a situation where we can speak up, we can have an influence, and we just stand there. When we're at school and there are those that we know that are our friends and they're bullying someone else, and while we know we don't want to be the bully, we don't want to go against someone who cannot defend themselves, but we do nothing but just stand there. And we're traveling, and we're not near our home, and near the congregation that we're familiar with, and we're out and about, and we have opportunity to speak to someone who is next to us, perhaps having a Bible study, and you hear something said, and you just kind of sit there and do nothing. Is that what we find ourselves in our point in life where we're just going to sit there? We're just going to stand there while the world goes by, while people are on a fast track to a devil's hell, saying nothing and doing nothing, waving at them as they go by if we even lift a hand? Or do we say, you know what, regardless of the situation that I find myself in, here I am. I'm right here, and right now what I need to do is I need to love. I need to demonstrate the love that was demonstrated to me by our Heavenly Father. The love that was demonstrated to me not only through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, but when someone spoke up and told me what I needed to do, I need to share that love with others. And there are three keys for us that we're going to talk about this morning in order to do that. Three habits, really, of letting God use us for His purpose. Because if we're not going to allow God to use us, then we're already defeated. We're already finding ourselves in a situation where we're going to hate everything about our lives and where we are. We're going to hate those around us. We're going to look at people with indignation. We're going to just have an attitude about us that no one wants to be around. But if we'll allow God to use us in our situation, what we will see is the promises of God blooming before our very eyes. Remember Romans 8, verse 28. In Romans 8, verse 28, he says that all things, I know, brethren, that to them that love the Lord, all things work together for good. Think about that. all things work together for good. That's a passage that you're going to hear probably a lot throughout this week. But I want us to really consider what he is saying and recognize that promise that he has made. He didn't say that all things are going to be for our good. He didn't say everything is going to work out great for us. But he did say that they will work out. That it will be good. But it's up to us to let God use us in our situations. And sometimes that means when we are in the circumstances where we need the prayers the most. Where we're struggling more than perhaps anyone else around us. No one else knows what we are going through. Remember the lesson earlier this morning about being different, adorning the doctrine of Christ? This is truly an opportunity to do that very thing. The three ways, first and foremost, to be sure that we're allowing God to use us and to show love wherever we are, is first of all to be present in mind. To be present. To recognize that we are here. To embrace the fact that this is the situation that I am in. This is where I find myself. And do not let our minds wander. Do not let our minds be somewhere else. Don't let our minds be, I wish I had another job. I don't want to be here. Because if you don't want to be where you are in that respect, and you let it be known, you it is shown to everyone around you, they don't want you there either. People ask the question, or you ask somebody how they're doing, can't complain. Good, because I don't want to hear it. Sometimes that's the attitude that we have. And a lot of people, they don't want to hear what everyone else wants to complain about. You think about Paul's situation. Here was Paul in Acts chapter 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28. Here is Paul not only being taken before the Jews, being beaten, and being falsely accused of various things, and then taken into Roman custody, going before Felix, who just assumed Paul pay him in order to be set free. But Paul isn't willing to pay him. Instead, he's going to preach the gospel to him. Here was a situation. I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope that comes with it of the glories of heaven. And so, to keep the Jews happy, he kept him in prison. And then he's taken away and Festus comes along. And Festus wants to hear Paul's case. He says, why don't you go back and plead your case back in Jerusalem? And he says, if you're going to send me back to Jerusalem, I'll appeal to Caesar because he's a Roman citizen. He can do that. And so Festus kind of has his hands tied now. He can't do much except for send him to Rome to appeal to Caesar. But then Herod Agrippa comes along. And he is an expert in Judaism. And kind of the resident expert for the nation of Rome. And so Festus kind of goes to Agrippa, and Agrippa says, I'll listen to him. And in chapter 28, when Paul is taken before Agrippa, Paul preaches the gospel to him. I'm here because of the resurrection. And you know what I'm talking about, Agrippa. Yes, I persecuted the way. But then I was confronted by our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus on my way to Damascus. And I was commissioned to preach the gospel to the Jew and to the Gentile alike. And now I've been going around and spreading that gospel of Christ, and I've been beaten for it. And that's why I stand before you now, because I believe in the resurrection, which the prophets foretold, which you know and believe, he tells Agrippa. Almost, he says, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul says, I would that you not all, but everyone, not almost, but be as I am, save these chains. I wish that everyone would be a Christian. In Philippians chapter 1, in Paul's particular situation, there he was in prison. And as he's writing in Philippians chapter 1, here he is in chains, and he's writing talking about how this has been for the furtherance of the gospel. This has helped for the gospel of Christ to spread to others, even some of the household of Caesar himself. There are those that despise me, those that preach basically trying to make it worse for me, but hey, the gospel's being preached. Back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, the apostles, you know, will you now set up your kingdom? And Jesus tells them, pay attention to what's going on right now around you. That's what Paul was doing. He was paying attention to the opportunities that were there around him. He was present in mind. And he was loving those that he had opportunity to love. Those who were there around him. The guards. Those who imprisoned him. Those who would beat him. Those who were traveling with him. Wherever you are. Be all there. All in for the Lord. Keep focused upon the mission that Christ has given us in spreading and teaching the gospel of Christ. In John chapter 16, probably the last words the apostles would have ever thought they would hear or understand. In John 16 verse 7, Jesus said, "For your good, I am going away." What? What do you mean for our good? No, remember, Peter argued with Christ in Matthew chapter 16. You're not going to go and be killed. We won't let that happen. What are we supposed to do? We can't allow this. We can't make it without you. When people were turning away in John chapter 10 and John chapter 6, and Jesus asked the apostles, will you go away too? And Peter's the one that spoke up, to whom will we go? You have the words of salvation. Where else can we go? And now Jesus is telling them that this is for your good. I am going away. How is that possible? Because they were going to begin to rely a lot more upon faith. And after all, faith is our victory. Faith is what gets us through. Faith is what leads us. Faith is what helps us to overcome our present circumstances and situations. Whether it's our health, relationship, job, or unemployment, whatever it is, our faith is what gets us through and allows us to overcome our fears and to recognize and realize the hope that we have as children of God. And in the situation we find ourselves in, when the world is shaking their head and feeling sorry for us, perhaps, we, with a smile because of the hope and the glories of heaven, are encouraging people to read their Bibles, to obey the gospel of Christ. We can't do that if we are not present in our own mind in the situation that we find ourselves in. If we're all about trying to be somewhere else rather than allowing God to work within us, allowing God to use us in our circumstances, in our situation, we've got to be present to do that. Not only that, but we've got to be prayerful. We have got to be a prayerful people. There in Acts chapter 1 with the apostles after Jesus left, in verse 14 of Acts chapter 1, we are told that they devoted themselves to prayer. Listen, the Jews were a prayerful people. There's no doubt about that. But one thing that Jesus did when he was on earth is he put their prayer life to shame. He really did. The apostles were no slackers when it came to prayer. They understood and knew about prayer. But when they recognized and saw the prayer life of Jesus, of all the questions they could have asked Jesus, of everything they could have said, Lord, teach us this. Teach us about this. What do you have to say about this? The one thing we are told they specifically asked to be taught, Luke 11 verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. Because the Lord at times was too busy to eat, he was too busy to sleep, but he was never too busy to pray. He began his ministry with prayer, and the roughest and toughest times during that ministry, right before his crucifixion, he was praying in the garden. When he was on the cross, he was praying to the Father. Jesus showed us the value and the importance of prayer. What Jesus did on this earth was not without prayer. And if he could live this life, and he did it with prayer, why do we think we can do it without it? How do we expect to survive and go through the circumstances, the afflictions, the abuse, the trials, and the temptations without prayer when even our Lord and Savior didn't do it without prayer? The apostles devoted themselves to prayer. Remember in Acts chapter 6 when the Hellenist widows were being neglected in the daily distribution, fulfilling the needs and benevolent needs there. And they came to the apostles and said, "We need to take care of this. You guys need to do something." And they said, "Choose from among yourselves these seven men, because we're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." They recognized the need for prayer. Prayer helps us to focus upon our needs and the needs of others right now. It helps us to be present in our mind, to understand and recognize, here we are. All right, I may not like it. I may not want to be here. I may not want to be going through these things, but here I am. Lord, use me for your purpose. Pray to God, perhaps for strength. Pray to have our eyes opened to the opportunities, to see what He sees, to hear what He hears, to have His vision of those around us, and allow His work to take precedence over our own. Allow His cause, His purpose, to dominate our life rather than the things of this world. Isn't that what Paul did when he was in prison? Rather than pleading a case to try and be set free, he preached the gospel. Rather than bemoaning the horrors of our health and the situations that we find ourselves in, finding the strength through Christ Jesus, praying for that strength to share with others that joy in spite of where we find ourselves. Which, thirdly, tells us that we need to be aware. We need to be paying attention. Not just having our mind focused, being present in our situation, accepting the situation that we're in. Not liking it, but nevertheless realizing, but this is the situation that I am. Lord, use me. And praying for that to take place and then looking for those opportunities. Being aware of what is around you. You know, Lord God, give me your eyes, give me your ears to recognize those who need help, and help me to have the vision of being able to spread your word and say the right words to those around me to help guide them to you. What is around you? Who is around you? We'll talk a little bit more about who tonight. But sometimes what we find ourselves doing is being self-absorbed. And it's all about us. And listen, it's difficult to find ourselves in situations. We're struggling. We're having a difficult time. And everyone around us is telling us to suck it up. We don't want to hear that. That's not what we're looking for. We like a little bit of sympathy. with us sometimes. We want folks to recognize that we're struggling, that we need prayers as well. We understand and we recognize that. But sometimes we get so self-absorbed in games and books and school and job and money and having worldly things that we are missing so many opportunities around us. Sometimes even with our own family, let alone those we work with, those that we go to school with, those that we come in contact with occasionally or on a regularly or even sometimes once in a lifetime. And then it's gone. And we're thinking, I missed it. I messed up. What was wrong? Why didn't I say something to them? Well, because you weren't aware of your situation and probably weren't truly showing love where you are. You are more focused upon the situation itself. And sometimes that's difficult. But how can we let God use us to share the good news of Christ if we're not looking for those opportunities? You know, for those in school, for example, you have the unpopular kid who kind of sits alone by himself. Sometimes maybe he's bullied. There's an opportunity to show love where you are. To show the love of Christ that is to be within you. To reach out to those who are struggling. To those who are finding themselves in difficult situations and probably are at the end as far as they're saying. And don't know where to go from here. And then you provide to them the hope of Christ. We need to look at people as individual souls, not interruptions, not inconveniences. They're individuals who are in need of the love of Christ, in need of the saving gospel of Christ, and the hope that we have. But we can soon lose if we neglect God's will. Don't just stand there. Realize, you know what? Maybe you did mess up in the past. That's behind you. There may be opportunities in the future that is ahead of you. But the present is before you right now. What are you going to do with it? Love where you are. And recognize that God will not put you somewhere that He cannot use you. Think about it. God will not put you where He cannot use you. Wherever you are in life, whatever you're going through, you are there. And God can use you in that situation if you'll let Him. The question is for us this morning, are we letting God use us? Are we in His way? One of the first things we need to do to let God use us is, first of all, become a child of His. To recognize that where I am at apart from Christ is not where we need to be. And God is calling us to come into fellowship with Him. God is calling us to be adopted, become His children, to obey the gospel of Christ. Just as Jesus said in the Great Commission of Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Yes, we are all children of God through the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. Becoming a child of God and recognizing that regardless of this, where you find yourself, God says those sins that you've committed, they will be washed away. He will remember them no more. You will be justified, set free from the guilt of those sins by His grace. And you will find that there is no condemnation in Christ. Romans 8:1. Will you obey the gospel and have that joy and that peace and allow God to use you? Let Him work in you. The Word of God is working. If you're even considering it this morning, let it work. And as a child of God, if you've been resisting those opportunities, you've been neglecting those opportunities, refocus once again upon the Lord and take advantage of of what is set before you. You may not like your situation. There may be lots of reasons why we understand why you wouldn't. But never forget to love where you are. If we can help you, if we can pray with you, encourage you to make your life right this very day, don't delay. Come to the front. As together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.